Jayaradamadava Kunjabi Adi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dari Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira
Prabhupada Paramahamsa Parivajagacharya Ashtota Satashishi Mad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. Okay, what do I do now? I guess I'll read the verse. Do I have to chant that? I'll try. I do that after I read verse in purport. Sorry. What's the first? Ya esha rajan api kala ishita satvam suranikam ivaidayati ataha taprati anikan asuran suran priyo rajas tamaskan praminyoti urashavaha. Your turn. One more. Word for word, ya, which, eshaha, this, rajan, O king, api, even, kalaha, time, ishita, the supreme lord, satvam, the mode of goodness, sura anikam, number of demigods, eva, certainly. Eriyati causes to increase. Ataha, hence. Tat pratyanikan, inimical to them. Asuran, the demons. Sura priyaha, being the friend of the demigods. Rajaha tamaskan, covered by passion and ignorance. Praminoti, destroys. Uru Shavaha, whose glories are widespread. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. O King, this time factor enhances the sattva gun. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods, who are mostly situated in sattva gun. Then the demons who are influenced by tamagun are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious, therefore he is called Uru Shava. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Samo ham sarva bhuteshu na me jueshyo sti na priyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality Godhead, cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when demigods are favored and the demons are killed, this is not his partiality, but the influence of the time factor. A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with the causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that it results. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Puruna is an example. Puruna's purpose was to kill Krishna, Aho Baki Yam Stanakala Kutam. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Puruna's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. The superfluous activity of killing Puruna did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, the friend of everyone. Therefore, partiality cannot apply to the character of the Supreme Personality Godhead, who always maintains his position as the Supreme Controller. The Lord killed Puruna as an enemy, but because of his being the Supreme Controller, she attained an exalted position as his mother. Srila Madhava Muni therefore remarks, Kale Kala Vishaye Pishita Dehadi Karanatva Suranikam Iva Shtitam Satvam. Ordinarily, a murderer is hanged, and in the Manu Samhita, it is said that a king bestows mercy upon a murderer by killing him, thus saving him from various kinds of suffering. Because of his sinful activities, such a murderer is killed by the mercy of the king. Krishna, the supreme judge, deals with matters in a similar way because he is the supreme controller. The conclusion, therefore, is that the Lord is always impartial and always very kind to all living entities. Om Aganti Mirandasya Ganajana Shalakaya Chakshamu Mitamina Tasmai Shikuve Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai. Alright. So hopefully by your blessings I could speak something with some weight behind it. This is probably my first and last class. Feels like it. So I'm not very good at giving lectures or freestyling like Jad Baldev for an hour. So I wrote an essay. Forgive me if the essay is bad. I only went to college for 3 days. I will. Okay. So I'll start. So this is a very fundamental principle to understand. God is said to be impartial, but there also seems to be an apparent contradiction when Krishna says he annihilates the demons and he protects the devotees, or the fact that some people have a better material situation in life than others. I'll restart. So this is a very fundamental principle to understand. God is said to be impartial, but there also seems to be an apparent contradiction when Krishna says he annihilates the demons and he protects the devotees, or the fact that some people have a better material situation in life than others. You may ask then, how is God impartial? Srila Prabhupada answers this and declares that yes, Krishna still remains impartial despite this. An example can be given that Krishna is compared to the rain, and the jiva's actions are the planting of different types of seeds. When the rain waters them and different fruitive reactions come up, the jivas enjoy and suffer according to their own actions, which are predominantly in one of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. The rain is not personally responsible for the variety of good and bad fruits the jivas get, but the jivas are. Good enough? Sorry. Also, forgive me if my philosophy's off. I'm not the brightest, sharpest tool in the shed. So one who says, God directly or personally gave me this material enjoyment and suffering is in ignorance of Krishna's actual personality and how he interacts with us. Krishna is not a material being, but a spiritual being. Meaning Krishna really only gives us personal attention for those persons who we can actually have a relationship with eternally. Krishna can't give so much attention to an infinitely small temporary relationship with someone who is only materially interested or disinterested in him. It is not Krishna's flaw, but our own fault for the apparent neglect. So I got a quote from Narayana Muni to give you a visual of what I mean. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter and 5th verse. O King, both you and we, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, this situation is now temporary, although it is not false. So what I'm trying to point out, I'm trying to give you a visual. Let's say you have a timeline. Past is going that way infinitely. The future is going that way infinitely. But in the middle, we're trying to have a relationship with Krishna through temporary means, which is only a small fragment. It's only a little blip in the mist of infinity. You get the point? So the jivas also have this tendency to have an eternal relationship. For example, the ideal husband and wife will try to enjoy infinitely due to their deep affection for each other, and will never want to leave each other because this is the jiva's nature to enjoy forever. This feeling for love is very strong, so strong we can't control it. We need it so bad that we try to find a quick fix to the problem, so this feeling then outweighs our intellect and we act out in many foolish ways, wanting love instantly, or in other words, wanting love materially. If you think about it, if we claim to be this material body and that things related to this material body be the pinnacle of love in existence, then self-satisfaction becomes a myth. What to speak of developing a relationship with Krishna or God, who is eternal and wants something eternal. And once again, in a crude sense, just as a husband wants to enjoy the wife eternally, but due to having a temporary relationship, they're both cut short. So what I'm trying to say is Krishna wants something eternal, not just something material, not just something, a little blip of time, you know. We cut ourselves short from thinking that God mainly reciprocates directly with us through the pleasures and distresses of material situations. This is also one of the main reasons why people don't believe in Krishna or God in the first place, because of thinking such material things to be Krishna's ultimate correspondence with us. Not to be condescending, but many religious materialists think that when something good like money manifests in their lives, they think that God loves me. But if these people think that the word me refers to the body and not as an eternal spirit soul separate from matter, then they are just enjoying or suffering their past actions, thinking that this is God personally or directly giving me this. This concocted faith in God can be easily damaged when something bad does happen that we can't understand. There are only a few in this world who could see the mercy of Krishna in everything and how it's meant to bring them to an ultimate eternal conclusion of life and its real purpose. If you have the seed of bhakti or loving devotion and some realizations of the eternal self apart from matter, when material opportunities, good and bad, manifest in our lives and can be used for propagating our relationship with Krishna or God, then that is a clear indicator that Krishna is actually trying to have a relationship with us personally and spiritually. We should try as hard as we can not to turn away from him and his service. I feel like you're going to use this as an excuse for me to do pots with you.
This next line or the one that you just said?
What I just said.
Can you say it again?
So we should try as hard as we can not to turn away from him and his service. So this is probably like the main point getting to the conclusion. So the bhakti shakti is tangible to Krishna because the bhakti shakti is also eternal and spiritual energy. Once manifest in a person, it never leaves his heart. This is something Krishna can actually hold on to and never let go. It is not like water, or in other words, the conditioned souls that slips through his fingers when he tries to reach down and grab them. So you can imagine Krishna trying to grab us, but because we're so interested in temporary things and try to approach him by temporary means, we cut ourselves short, like I explained before. The demigods are mostly favored by Krishna, but not always. The demigods tend to have this tangible substance called bhakti more than the demons because the mode of goodness is prominent in the devatas, which creates fertile ground for the seed of bhakti to manifest. As for the demons, they are mostly in modes of passion and ignorance, which makes bhakti rare in the demons. So concluding with a crude example. If Spider-Man is a full-fledged atheist with no bhakti, and the Green Goblin chants 64 rounds of Shuddha Nama Day, Krishna favored the demoniac Green Goblin more But not because materially he's the Green Goblin, but because spiritually he has bhakti, something Krishna can tangibly love and eternally enjoy. Thus, this verse indirectly stresses the importance of realizing the eternal self in relation to Krishna. Just another reason to do Harinam Sankirtan. Hari Bol. Any questions, comments? Not exactly clear on your question.
Well, then, I guess that would be my question. I mean, what is, how do you know when Krishna is personally interacting with you?
Let me go back. I don't know. Himanshu, can you? How do you know? Well, I guess you
so can. Materialists assume if they get some money or some advance that that's Krishna interacting with them as if that's all he can do for them. But Krishna interacts with us through bhakti. So what is the evidence when Krishna actually is personally interacting with us?
Can you give him a microphone? I guess it's consciousness. I guess the perception.
This was brought up in Mayapur recently because there was all this talk about Lord Chaitanya appearing in the kirtans. And the DDs, Panchatattva, were perspiring. You guys heard about all this? So then Manoj was sharing with us how Janani Vasprabhu was asked this question, did Lord Chaitanya appear or did he not appear? And Janani Vasprabhu answered very simply that the devotee's vision is that it's always the Lord's, it's always the Lord's involvement. So the reason why the DDs were perspiring was not because of humidity in the atmosphere, which is what some of the more practical-minded devotees were saying, but rather because this is how the Lord wants to manifest. This is the Lord's appearance. And those who have that deep level of faith will see it that way. Now, one could argue, well, is it just a matter of perspective then? That if you have the right perspective, it's the Lord. If you have the wrong perspective, it's not the Lord. Prabhupada answers in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in a particular purport, that unless one is fully purified at heart, there is no question of knowing for sure if it's the Lord or if it's the mind. So until that stage arrives, better to take direction from the, you know, from a bona fide spiritual master. And after that stage has arrived, when one is established in a direct relationship with the Lord, one will know beyond doubt that, yes, it is my Lord who is manifested. So, I don't know if that gives any clarity. I have a question, but if anybody else, yeah, can I ask my question? You expanded this point about this. You were using this example of a timeline, that in the infinite time continuum, we are here right in the middle, and because the duration of our life is very short, you were somehow trying to connect this idea of time to why Krishna is not interested in having a relationship with conditioned souls, right?
Yeah.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
I swear I was able to explain it yesterday. Well, I'm just trying to point out that Krishna wants something eternal, not temporary. You know, he doesn't want to have a relationship with matter because matter is temporary. It comes and it goes. So who wants to get attached to something that comes and it goes, that comes and goes? If Krishna would have a relationship with our temporary bodies, that make, I wouldn't say he'd suffer, but it's, I don't know, I'm speculating. But it just doesn't make sense why Krishna would get attached to something temporary. So that's the only point I'm trying to make, that also in the midst of infinity, I believe, you know, our lives are only, I believe this is a term, infinitesimal. It's like, for example, like you got, you know, the past going that way infinitely and the future going that way infinitely. So for the fragment of time with that we are living is only infinitely small. If everything's infinitely expanding, then our lives are infinitely small. And why would Krishna want to have a relationship with such a next to nothing, you know, personality? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
What you're saying is this just a slight, subtle thing that's kind of maybe not sitting well with me. Because, you know, in the ultimate issue, Krishna is having a relationship with this insignificant, tiny being. It's just that perhaps because right now he's infatuated with matter, I'm not really sure how to take this point. I think your final point to me makes a lot more sense, that because this conditioned soul doesn't have bhakti, Krishna has nothing he can enjoy, because all Krishna enjoys is his own internal energy. Yeah. So because this conditioned soul is lacking bhakti, Krishna is not so interested in the relationship, because what is he going to enjoy? He's not going to enjoy matter. Krishna can't enjoy matter. He's untouched by matter. So that point makes sense to me. But somehow this idea of like, well, Krishna wouldn't be interested in this insignificant living entity. There's something about that point that's not sitting right. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Well, he's not interested in the temporary body of that entity. Like, no matter how small it is, sure, he has interest in it, but he's not interested in the body. He can enjoy, and he's interested in enjoying eternal things.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I mean. Anything else?
I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Hare Krishna. My apologies. Kishore, Kishore, Hare Krishna. I just want to express my... Man, this is loud. I don't think I need a mic. I want to express my gratitude to all the new devotees, especially who've been, you know, working their butt off trying to give class, you know, and do their best to the ability. And I just want to offer, because I want to kind of bring up an issue that I kind of discussed with some devotees, you know, in the past few days. Hopefully I get all my points. It's, hopefully I make it brief. We have like half hour, right? It's not going to be that long, just like 5 minutes. But sometimes, and I'm not criticizing anyone because I always thought the same way in the past, and I kind of evolved in my Krishna consciousness based on association of devotees I feel like I've received a lot of mercy from. So sometimes the question is raised, you know, whether new devotees should, oh yeah, thank you, I don't need a mic, but yeah, you can decrease the volume. Whether,
Hello.
Whether new devotees should, you know, give class or sit on the Vyasa sign. So that question was raised to me. And this is a complete support of you guys, so so it's not criticism. So sometimes, one point that I really appreciated from Lachi Moni, she likes to keep it real. She says we all have our attachments. And she said one of our attachments when she was here is, you know, ladies magazine. She kept it real. So, huh? Yeah. We all know what that means. So sometimes we like to keep things vague. Like, of course, it's always good to be respectful. We use the words lust, sense gratification, sense enjoyment. But what does that mean? You know, pornography. So this material world, is. We should try to understand that it's not possible to control the senses. Krishna is known as Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. And when he's pleased with our, you know, efforts and our appreciation of devotees, then he'll voluntarily control our own senses. And, you know, for me, like I said, there's no critique, because I also thought the same way. Sometimes we feel that, you know, sometimes we call, you know, sometimes pornography anarthanavritti. But sometimes when we hear the sound vibrations of new devotees who are trying their best to give class, we sometimes say, I don't want to get contaminated. And I kind of find that ironic. And this is no criticism, because I also thought the same way. I also made a distinction of who's a pure devotee and not. And look at me. You know, how do I don't have the audacity to say that. When Lakshmi Moni was, Matsuji was here, she asked everyone in the classroom a question. Who's a pure devotee? No one raised their hand. And so I kind of appreciate one point that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made. He said, whatever we say in private, we should have the courage to say it publicly. You know, otherwise, real humility doesn't mean, you know, that we sit on the Vyasa sign and we consider proud. You could be, you know, sit on the mat, or you could sit in the back in a room, and you could be the most arrogant person in all of creation. Why? Because you're fault-finding, criticizing, you know, so many things. So I'm just, it's in the essence of, it's not criticism of anyone, but the essence is to show my appreciation, gratitude. Krishna says, Patram Pushram Phala Tonyam Yome Bhatya Prayachati. Whatever little effort we do, you know, to try our best, he appreciates it. And, you know, I just find those points, you know, something I found fault with myself over the years, and I discovered that this type of mentality wasn't giving me no peace of mind, no happiness. This kind of distinguishing between, you know, who should give and look at me. And so we should, these are points I like to keep in mind all the time. So if we're unnecessarily over flooded with so many, you know, material desires, demoniac, we should check where's our respect, our appreciation, and our gratitude. RAAG, respect, appreciation, gratitude. Our rag bhakti. Where's our rag bhakti? So that's
the conclusion, like I said, is no, it's not, how can I judge? You know, I'm simply admitting some of my mistakes over the years, and I felt like the mercy I received from devotees, especially from, he's not here, Jitendra Prabhu, but all the devotees, actually. But I spend most time with him, and it's just, I'm just saying I support you guys, so Hare Krishna, thank you.
Jai. I think your class was longer than mine. Anything else?
I want to make it a full class. Yeah, the second half. Om pranama da pranami dam.
Anything else? Going once, going twice, sold. Srila Prabhupada ki. Problem.